First of all, I want to thank Brother Scott Hudson for swapping Wednesday nights with me. So if you were anticipating him giving a talk this evening, you're going to really be disappointed. So you can come back next week and hear him. He's got a whole week to get better prepared. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 2. A month or so ago, Brother Darrell Hamilton and Brother Norm had given some lessons that mentioned the wise men, and I'd like to talk to them about them some more tonight. I gave this lesson back in January or February of this year, and I was almost talked myself out of not doing it, but I thought the timing and opportunity was a better time since we've got the holidays coming up here shortly to talk about the wise men. You might drive around, you might see some of these nativity scenes that might have the wise men. You may watch a movie or a TV show or on TV that might mention them. You might even go to a play that includes the wise man too. And so I'd like to just bring these thoughts back, and as I do sometimes redo a lesson, I'll add some more thoughts to it that I thought of over time. But Matthew chapter 2, I want to read the first 12 verses real quick. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come unto the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Here we find that the Bible really doesn't tell us much about the wise men who came seeking the newborn king. It doesn't even tell us how many there were. Tradition says that there were three of them since they brought three gifts, but there may have been more. But really, it doesn't matter how many there were. What is clear is that they were from a country in the east, probably Persia or Babylonia. They had traveled a great distance to see the child. Although they were probably Gentiles, they may have had contact with Jews who had settled in their home country centuries before, and therefore they would have known of God's promise to send the Messiah to the world. When God sent a special star in the heavens, they knew the prophecy was being fulfilled, and they undertook that journey to find him. So why are these wise men important? Well, they are important, first of all, because they tell us that Jesus Christ came into this world for all kinds of people. Regardless of our wealth or social standing or ethnic or racial background, he came for the wise man. He came for the humble shepherds. He came for you. But the wise men are also important because they are an example to us. They endured danger and hardship and scorn to find Christ, and so should we. And when they found him, they worshipped him and gave him their treasures, and so should we. So what is the most precious gift that we can bring to Jesus? Is it our gold? Or is it our hearts and our lives? What does Jesus want most from us? Have you given him your heart and life to Jesus? If not, he wants you to do it now. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, it says, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." If you're not a Christian, you need to consider that mightily tonight. And if you're an errant Christian, you also need to examine yourself and to make that right and ask for forgiveness. If you, we have the things ready here at the baptistry for those that have not been baptized, and all you have to do if you're an errant Christian, child of God, is to come forward and confess your sins and ask for that forgiveness. If you're subject in that matter in any way, won't you come while together we stand and sing the invitation song?